compromised. Why is he asking me to talk on worship? Because he never asks anybody to talk on a specific matter. And I just felt the Lord say the reason is because we're getting ready to step into a season or seasons where worship is crucial. I'm going to get my thoughts together. I don't want to walk into that brick wall. But I just feel, worship is essential in cultivating an atmosphere that is primed for signs, wonders, and miracles. I've been a worshiper all my life. I was basically born to do it. We all were created to worship. Just my response to him is through song, through music. And I just believe, in our response, how we respond to him is essential in the way we enter into worship. I'm overthinking right now. Lord, I just thank you. I just ask that your spirit come and hover and brood in this place, Father God, and give me the words to speak what you want to say. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity. Though terrified I am willing to be used by you, Father God. I had a few stories I wanted to go over from Scripture that I felt was important and talks about our response in worship and how we respond to the Lord. First one was is found in 2 Chronicles 20. And this is one of my favorite stories. It's about King Jehoshaphat. And three armies were set to attack the kingdom of Judah. And Jehoshaphat got word of it. Y'all can read the story at another time because it's pretty long. But he got wind of it. And instead of freaking out, instead of just, God, what are we going to do? Oh, my God. He began to seek the Lord. He began to seek his face, began to worship him. And then he got his kingdom together, and he requested that they fast and that they pray to see what direction they needed to go. And as he did that, he began to worship the Lord in front of his kingdom. He began to just exalt the Lord. And a word of the Lord came upon the son of Zechariah. And he said, the battle is not yours, but it is mine. You don't have to do a thing. And with that, Jehoshaphat began to worship even more and began to praise and began to pray and thank the Lord. And then he set up minstrels to go before the army. I know if we did it today, we'd be like freaking out. I can just see us like, oh my God. Like, like, is this guy crazy? I mean, like, it's like, why are the minstrels, like, Josh, you're going to have to go in front of the whole army and you're going to have to play your guitar. Like, you're just going to have to. And somebody's going to, Michael, you're going to have to come play your drums. And you've got these ambushes, like, ready to take you out, and you don't have your weapons. Your weapons are your instruments. Can you imagine, I got my guitar and I'm going to hit you over the head with it, But these minstrels went forth along with the people, along with the army, and they began to worship. They began to lift up the name of Jesus, of God, I should say, because Jesus wasn't there yet. But lift up the name of God. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his love and his mercy endures forever. It wasn't like, oh God, what are we going to do? We're going to die. I know it. I know we're going to die. I know we're going to die. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. Lord, please help us. But instead of groveling, instead of begging and pleading with God, because they took the word of the Lord and they believed and they stood upon it, saying, the battle's not yours, but it belongs to me, said the Lord. So, as they worshiped, as they began to lift their voices in praise, God sent ambushes. And those people, those guys, those armies started fighting each other. And so when they came up, all they saw was a valley of dead bodies. All they had to do was go in and grab all the gold and silver, all the armor. It took them 3 days to gather it all. So I wanted to point that out. Because, you know, my title was going to be The Worship That Moves God. Yeah, I was sitting there like, what's my title going to be? God at worship at work? Not meaning like at work, you know, like in the workplace. Or worship that costs, because I'm going to go into that in a little bit. But worship that moves God, or moves the heart of God. And I believe what they did as an act of worship, as an act of praise, was move God to do what he needed to do. They didn't get in the way. Like we sometimes do, right? They didn't get in the way. They just worshiped. They just praised. And that moved God to move on their behalf. Another thing is, that our praise can move God into an action or to compassion. That was the action. It caused him to move, to set ambushes into the enemy's camp. But then there's the worship that moves him to compassion. And this is the one that I've experienced. I don't want to start crying. I feel like Miss Congeniality. Okay. You know. When she's on the plane and she's like, oh, just one word, peace. But this is the one that I've experienced in this recent year, was his act of compassion. And I'm moved by the story of Mary. It speaks of her in John 12. I'm going to go there. It's just a little. Six days before Passover, Jesus entered Bethany, where Lazarus was recently raised from the dead, was living. Lazarus and his sisters invited Jesus to dinner at their home. Martha served. Lazarus was one of those sitting at the table with them. Mary came in with a jar of very expensive aromatic oils, anointed and massaged Jesus' feet, and then wiped him with her hair. The fragrance of the oils filled the house. Now, I've heard so many messages on this story. I mean, you can take a lot from each story. But this one hits close to home. just recently. A lot of us, a lot of y'all know already, but I've had to go through something traumatic, and I really learned what worship was all about in that season of pain, of despair. And it could have been a time where I just ran away from God and just said, I've had enough. I'm tired. Nothing seems to be going right. Everything that I've hoped for, everything that I had been believing God for, everything seems to be going south. It's just, it's not working out. I don't know. You know, we were in such dire, you know, circumstances that Josh and I were even thinking of leaving, you know, getting out from recovering because we were just so heartbroken. And instead of doing that, I ran to the feet of Jesus. And I began to experience him in a way that I had never experienced him before. And I just remember just, you know, I go into my bathroom. That's where I pray. That's where I sing, you know, because I can just lock the door. I don't have, I mean, yeah, I do have the kids knocking. I even had Aiden knock down the door one time because I was in there for a long time. He was like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm crying, you know, and I'm writing a song and I'm sorry I'm not being a really good mom right now. You know, like, I didn't think he could actually ram the door open, but he did. He was determined. I guess he was worried that I was, I don't know, on the floor, passed out or something. I don't know. But I was just weeping and I was just asking God. I was in that moment. I was just like, God, where are you? Where are you? And I just can remember him saying, I'm right here. I'm right here. Like really quiet. And then I just began to just pour out. I mean, I had my phone in my hand and these words just started coming out of me. And I was just like, whoa, you know? And I was just like, asking God, I was like, God, I want you to reach down your hand and ask me to dance. Will you spin me around and around till all the pain is gone? Will you sing over me a healing melody? I just began to pour out my heart, and that was the beginning of something, I believe, in my walk of worship. You know, worship is a lifestyle. It's not just something we do on a Sunday or Wednesday. It's not something we just don't come to church and I'm going to worship, thank you, Jesus, and go home and act like the devil, you know? But it's a lifestyle. I truly believe it's a lifestyle. It's something that you do day in and day out, whether you're cutting the grass, whether you're doing the dishes or whatever, that's worship unto the Lord. And so he began to teach me all this thing. And I just began to just sing and just, he began to speak to me and he gave me the picture of Mary. And I began to sing and I've sang that here. He began to show me Mary at his feet, weeping and breaking open the jar of oil. And as I began to sing those words, because I didn't really read the scripture, I knew of it and everything. I've read it in the past, but I was interested. I was like, breaking open. So I looked it up. And spikenard is a very expensive oil. It's a year's wages. And in order to get the contents out, you had to break open the jar. Therefore, it could not be used again. And our worship should be like that jar of oil. And it costs. It's something that costs. You pay a price for that type of worship. The worship that moves the heart of God. And I, you know, one of the questions I asked is like, what moves the heart of God? a broken and contrite heart. I got scripture for that too. And I love this version. I like the Message version because it tells it like it is. Out of Psalm 51, 16 through 17. It says, going through the motions doesn't please you. A flawless performance is nothing to you. I learned God worship when my pride was shattered. Heart-shattered lives ready for love. Don't for a moment escape God's notice. So looking back, I did not escape God's notice. He took notice of me because I came to him broken. I came to him shattered. You know, God isn't impressed by our shows. He's not impressed by our performances. He's not impressed by the loud music. He's not impressed by any of that. You know, a lot of ways that's just performance. That's entertainment for the people. But what gets to the heart of God is when we come to him in our brokenness. And in our humility. You know, I was listening to Brian Johnson and Jen Johnson, and they were I've listened to so many messages on worship. I've read books on worship. I can, you know, but I was like, God, I just want this to be different. But he talked about David, and what made him a man after God's own heart wasn't the fact that he, you know, he was handsome, or he wasn't, you know, he was well-versed or, you know, strong. It had nothing to do with any of that. It had to do with his heart. And the fact, yes, he made mistakes. He made lots of mistakes like we all do. He probably made more than, you know, others. But the thing that set him apart and the thing that God says that this is a man after my own heart is because of the fact that he was able to turn all of that around, repent, and worship. You know, I mean, we all know that he's written so many worship songs, so many praise songs, and we can look at them and be like, dude, you're like bipolar or something. Like, you know, he's up and he's down. He's all around. He's just, you know, but the fact of the matter is that, yeah, he was all those things. He was up and he was down, and he would pray that God smite his enemies and, you know, do horrible things to them. But the thing is that he was humble enough to come before God and lay it all out. You know, he was authentic. You know, I'm a big believer in authentic worship. You know, I'm a big believer in simplicity too, because I believe God is simple. And the way that he responds to us, I believe that he likes simplicity, but we make it complicated. We complicate him. We put him in a box. And we say, you know, God, you're going to do it this way, and that's the way I want you to do it, you know. But the thing is, he's so simple. It's like our kids, they come up to us, and they're just like, Mommy, I love you. Or Daddy, I love you. You know, I made this picture for you. Can you tell me what it says? That's Molly. I'll scribble. And I'm like, no, I can't tell you what it says, but I love it. Thank you so much, you know. And I think that's how God is with us. He just, you know, he when we come to him with our true selves and who we are and who he has created us to be, and we say, look, Jesus, I made this for you. You know, he doesn't look down and say, that sucks. Go and do a better job. No, he's like, I love it. I love it. Thank you so much. And I love you. You know, I could just, that's the way I picture him. You know, is that loving and doting God and simple. He's just simple. I just want my people to just come to me and worship me. Not because they want something or they need something, but just because they want me. You know? It's like we all have those friends that are just like, you know, hey, I know you have a lot of money, and I'm just going to be your friend. You know. Hey, I need $20. Thanks. See you later. You know, you don't hear from him for about a year. Hey, I have about $50, please. You know, I mean, we know people like that. That just, like, come to you when they need something, or they think you have something that they need or want. And I think a lot of times that's how we treat God. We go to him when we are in a rut or we're in a bind. You know, we come up here, God, I need you, God. When are you going to come through? I need my breakthrough now. I need it now. Still waiting. And that's how we come to him a lot of times in worship. We come to him expecting him to do something. And unfortunately, that's not what moves him. Is when we're like begging him, pleading with him. If that's the only reason why you worship, you know, I'll worship you when I need something. I'll worship you when I've got nothing. I'm in trouble and nothing's going my way. That's when I'll worship you. That's when I'll come to you because I knew you'll do something. Yeah. You'll do something all right. It won't be what you expect. And I just believe that God is saying, it's like, just come to me with all your mess, with all your brokenness, and I'm going to make something beautiful out of it. But just leave it at my feet. Just leave it there. Don't pick it up. And then worship me. Just lay it down and then worship. Focus on me. Set your eyes on me. I'll take care of the rest. That's what I believe he does. But we got to come to him with a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart. There's a whole lot I want to say. Because I love worship. You know, get me in a room and talk about worship. And so what are your how do you respond to God? What are your motives for coming to him? You know, during that time, the Lord challenged me. He really challenged me to get out of my comfort zone. And at first I was like, I don't want to. That's not me. And that's, you know, like right now, is it being a challenge? I'm really out of my comfort zone. But he told me, he's like, I want you to get out of your seat. And this was during worship. And you know, I was fighting him with a little bit. And then I said, okay. And then I came to the front. And that was my first time. And it was like, it was different. It was, I believe God was starting to work in me and do something new and fresh in me. I stepped out of my comfort zone, you know, up here where everybody can see me. And I just began to worship him. I just began to just put my gaze on him, not worry about anybody else. And just began to worship. And I believe he began to do something in me. He began to break things off of me, break fear off of me. And it just became something that of a habit. It became something that I had to do. You know, because there's a different atmosphere when you come up here. completely different than just sitting in your seat. You get revelation. You get healing. It's like crossing over a threshold. You're stepping into faith and you're believing that whatever is up here is for you. And it's just been such a release, and it's so funny because, like, ever since I've been doing that, God has been working on my behalf. Like, I wouldn't be standing up here. I wouldn't be singing. Josh wouldn't be playing if I didn't pay the price of worship in the shower. You know, I didn't know what was ahead. I didn't know what he had planned through my tears, through my pain, and through my worship. And I didn't care. I didn't really care. I didn't care if I was going to sing again. I didn't care if I was going to be up here. I didn't care about any of that. All I cared about was just being in his presence and seeking his face. That's all I cared about, was doing what he wanted me to do. Everything else just, it didn't matter. And through it, he began to work some things out. He began to, you know, move some things and get some things in order. And, you know, and then now it's like, okay, it's your time. Well, okay. But it's because of worship. Because of paying the price. And it doesn't hurt. The price doesn't hurt. It's worth it. It's worth it in the end. Because it catapults you, grows you into the person you're supposed to be. So, I encourage you guys, when we do have worship, when we come together, get out of your seats. Because you're activating something in the spirit. You're doing something. You're saying, God, I believe what you said. I believe in who you are. I worship you for who you are, not because of what you can do for me. Because it's all about you in the end. It's all about you. So I encourage you, when we have soakings and we have worship, get out of your seats. Because it's a completely different atmosphere. Completely different feel, you know, and it's just getting involved. It's getting, you know, it's like responding to God. You're responding to him. You know, you're showing him that you love him. And it's all because he loves us first. Your response is, I love you because you love me. So I encourage you the next time we have worship. You know, I love it when a bunch of us comes up here because you can feel the hunger. You can feel the hunger. And that's why he's like, I want my people hungry. You know, there's so many that are just like, whatever. You know, they go through the motions of church, you know, and they just like, whatever, I'm going to go do my part and I'll go home and eat food or whatever. But shoot, I want to be up here all day long. I can be in worship all day long. And that's what he's wanting. He's like, I want my people hungry. I want them to thirst after me. I want them to long after me. And I believe that once we come to that place, when all of us are in that place of complete hunger, you know, and we come to him with brokenness, and we come to him in spirit and in truth, that it will be breeding ground for miracles. It's in our worship that happens. Because it cultivates. It like cultivates the soil. You know, people should be coming in and they should be healed instantaneously. They should be delivered. just because of the cultivation of worship that is happening in a place. And that has to do with our hearts, you know. God is looking for our hearts to be right and pure before him. No offenses, no unforgiveness. We have to leave that all at the door when we come to him. And our worship would be different. It would be completely different if we all did that. So I just encourage you the next time, come join us up here and... because it's a lot of fun, and see what God will do for your circumstance. So, totally not how I practiced.
You did amazing. Oh my. Look, Psalms 51, it's verse 15. It says, "Unbutton my lips, dear God. I'll let loose with your praise. Going through the motion doesn't please you. A flawless performance is nothing to you. I learned, God, worship when my pride was shattered. Heart shattered lives ready for love. Don't for a moment escape God's notice." Worship is the key. Worship is the key. When Jesus got baptized in the River Jordan, came out, they all saw the dove ascend upon him, which is the Holy Spirit. And he was driven by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. That's what the scripture says. Driven into the wilderness to be tempted. Now, the devil had his way. Did everything trying to teach him and trying to get him to submit, trying to get him to establish worship. But when worship was established on whom he would worship, that's when the enemy left. Worship is your instrument of victory. Worship is not an emotion. There's many that have gone through their life and the only time that they'll get into worship is if it's a slow song. That's not worship. That's emotional. Worship comes from within. And what she's telling you up here, and I've witnessed it. I've been in the back a couple of times on the soakings watching as people sit. Those that kind of sit and just watch, they're not getting in. Others that engage in the worship and then they wind up here when they were sitting in the back. But when they get to the front, it's a different atmosphere. In the tabernacle, there was a reason why there's a separation from the outer court, inner court, and into the Holy of Holies. There's a separation. The presence of God was not in the outer court. The presence of God was in the Holy of Holies. What is that saying? That pattern is for you to get out of playing in the openness, get beyond that, go into the inner court, deal with your stuff in the inner court. So once you get into the Holy of Holies, your worship is pure before God. You understand? And that's what it's for. We go through a process. Many have said, well, the tabernacle was only there just because they had no place to worship. God intends something for a reason for us. And when he established the tabernacle in the wilderness, it was for a place of worship. Hello, your wilderness establishes your worship. Your wilderness wandering experiences establishes your worship. You understand? So that he says, well, even though you're in the wilderness, some of us are out there in the outer court because we're comfortable. But that wasn't the intention. The intention was to get us all the way through the process to get into the Holy of Holies. We get comfortable. She said she got comfortable just singing, just comfortable in her chair. And then it wasn't until her wilderness experience that drove her into the Holy of Holies. You understand? And in the Holy of Holies, she began a new song. And some of you that follow her on Facebook witnessed that song that she sang. She just felt it in her and it just came out. Beautiful song. Your wilderness experiences will drive you into a place, into his place, his holy place. That's where the true worship comes out.